Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Glad you're with us, everybody. We are live this morning in Austin, Texas, at Entercom Radio's compound here. Talk Radio 1370 AM studios is where I'm doing the show from this morning. Been a wonderful Texas road trip for me in the Bourbon Belt the last couple of days, wrapping up here in Austin. So I'll be back in New York City starting tomorrow. It's been a wonderful time. And I want to tell a story about my tacos in San Antonio yesterday because it nearly got me killed, but it was worth it because the tacos are in San Antonio and they're just so damn good. Whoa! Wait a minute. I am shouting. I promise you, Mike McCann, I am shouting about death tacos. Shout. But I want to start this hour with the news at Houston that Mike D'Antoni, head coach of the Rockets, does not want to go into next season as a lame duck head coach. And so the Rockets and D'Antoni have had discussions about the framework of a 3-year extension. D'Antoni said last night, quote, "I've let Daryl Morey and ownership know that I'm energized to keep coaching and believe that I can continue to do this at a high level for at least another 3 years." D'Antoni is 68 years old. D'Antoni says, "I want to be part of a championship here." He's entering the final year of a 4-year deal. Now, note, Mike D'Antoni has been the NBA head coach of the year twice. He's a 2-time head coach of the year, except that ownership, after the Rockets lost to the Warriors a couple weeks ago, called it, quote, unacceptable, and they've already fired one of D'Antoni's top assistants. And so what do you do with Mike D'Antoni? Do you bring him back? I'm sure there's plenty of Rockets fans saying, no, it hasn't worked. Change something. You're not going to trade James Harden. Harden is the centerpiece. It's easier to fire the coach, get a new coach in there, and see if that works. And I would disagree. I actually think you've got to keep Mike D'Antoni there, and you've got to keep trying to knock down the Warriors and keep chipping at that wall. And that might seem like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Except, let's face it, you're close. I know it doesn't feel so close when you're home for the holidays yet again. Home for Memorial Day. Home for Flag Day. Home for May. I don't know. What are the other holidays around now? What I'm saying is, the Rockets really continue to be the one team in the West that you feel can challenge, at least challenge, the Warriors. And Golden State should lose Kevin Durant this offseason. I think that it's a 99% shot that they lose KD. So is now the time to strike and to fire D'Antoni? I would say no. I think the problem in this series was not D'Antoni. I think the problem was Chris Paul is coming to the end of being Chris Paul. That's really the problem. That the second gunner alongside James Harden showed you flashes, but he just wasn't that guy for all 6 of those games. And what happened last year? Once Chris Paul went down, they lost those games, game six and game seven, to the Warriors. Do I think that Houston has a Golden State problem? Yes. I do believe that just by virtue of losing to them four times in 5 years of the playoffs, that they are, right now, it's in their head. Right now, they don't have the belief, the confidence, the swagger to be able to go out there and know that they can beat them. I think they hope, they think that they want to know they can beat them, but they don't know. But I don't think that's a Mike D'Antoni problem. I really don't. I think that this is a team that unfortunately is led by James Harden, who is not a kind of gusto, I'll show you, follow my lead, best player. And that Chris Paul isn't a champion. And so they're led by guys that haven't been there before and don't necessarily have that type of attitude. You know, there is a precedent for getting over the hump. Michael Jordan's Bulls lost every year to the Detroit Pistons. Could not get over the hump. They killed Jordan and killed those Bulls teams until finally 1991. Not only did they get over the hump, but they sweep the Pistons. The Pistons are so personally affronted by this that they leave the court early in classic, shameless, unsportsmanlike Isaiah Thomas fashion. But that team was willed by Michael Jordan, who refused to not get over the hump. He would kill himself to get over the hump. Harden and Chris Paul aren't wired like that. And to be fair, nobody really is. I mean, Michael Jordan was wired a certain way, which made him the greatest of all time, that nobody else can really compare with. But Harden and Chris Paul aren't like that. And a new coach wouldn't change that. The Rockets will once again go into next year as one of the favorites of the Western Conference. And perhaps by losing Kevin Durant, even though we're seeing how great the Warriors are right now, even without Kevin Durant, it'll make them a little bit more mortal over 82 games. And maybe right now what they're able to do is in a finite amount of time, not over 82. And perhaps it's better suited for the Rockets if they make changes to add to the bench or to look for a move that could, instead of having Chris Paul as the second best player, have a better second best player behind James Harden. But do I think that Mike D'Antoni is the quote unquote problem? No, I don't. I really don't. I don't think he's the problem. I think at the end of the day, the problem has been the most important players on the floor for the Rockets have not come up biggest when it's mattered most. And that's oftentimes been James Harden. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. And you can watch the show, even though we're on remote today in Austin. You can watch us at watchda.com, available anywhere on any device. I got to tell you the story about tacos. I know that Mraz loves tacos. I know that Pete the Body Bilotti loves tacos. I know that Andrew Bogus loves tacos. I know that Kaplan loves tacos. I know that we here on the DA show love tacos. Who doesn't love tacos? But as good as the tacos are in your neighborhood, imagine how good they are in San Antonio, Texas. With an enormous Mexican-American population, a Mexican restaurant on every corner, every road, every street in San Antonio has big billboards about $1.50 breakfast tacos and taco platters and taco combinations, and none of them are Taco Bell. In fact, I was personally offended when I saw a Taco Bell in San Antonio because I said, get that out of my face. I need the real stuff. So my good friend Hector Ledesma, sportscaster in San Antonio, who I was in town for his 40th birthday, said, I know, DA, that you love tacos. I know you love breakfast tacos. I want to get you breakfast tacos. I said, I'm in. And I've had breakfast tacos there before. Now, when you think breakfast tacos, you would oftentimes think, well, egg, bacon, cheese, just rolled up in a corn or flour tortilla. Oh, no. No, no, no. There's like 20 different breakfast tacos you can get. Some have beans, some have cheese, some have eggs, some have bacon, some have smoked brisket, some have a different type of ham, some have peppers. It's how you cook the carne asada, how you cook the beef, how you cook the pork. I mean, it is a thing, and I love it. So we call in the order to a place called Tommy's, okay? And this is in a strip, on a strip on a part of San Antonio that looks like it's got really good tacos, okay? There's bars on some windows on some other places. There's check cashing places. I said, this is my type of joint. This is the tacos. So we call in the order. There's going to be like 12 breakfast tacos for us, the two of us, then the wives and the families. Okay. We pull up to Tommy's and it's about 11:45 a.m., just before noon. Okay. So this is kind of late breakfast tacos. Let's face it. Almost lunch, but okay. Pull up. Go to the door, pull the door, door is closed. Walk around the side, no other door. Door is locked. Now, this is noon. We've called to the order. They've taken the order about 15 minutes earlier, and the door is locked. Hector looks in the window, looks to see if anybody's in there. There are people in the restaurant. And he knocks again. Open up the door. We've got tacos to get. One of the women on staff comes over, wags her finger like Dikembe Mutombo. No, you can't come in here. Wow, is it us? Why can't we go get our breakfast tacos? Hector tries to pantomime to her, we've called in the order. We've called in. We've been on the phone. We've called in. You guys have the order. You took the order. You know how to take the reservation. You don't know how to keep the reservation. So, she says, no, you can't come in. What's going on? What's going on? At this point, she recedes into the darkness in the restaurant. We can't really see in the windows. And this dude, eyes bugging out of his head, in nothing but a tank top, and looking quite bizarre, let me tell you, comes up to us and looks kind of through us. Kind of like a crazy eyes killer look. It's like, yo, bro, if you tell them, okay, if they tell you, okay, hang on. Let me tell you, okay? Okay, amigo, let me tell you. I'm not going to press charges on them, okay? You tell them I'm not going to press charges on them, but, okay, that's entrapment, okay, mi amigo? It's entrapment. And I'm like, what? Huh? What? Hector's like, okay. And he gives me the sign. Why don't we go back to the car? So that's probably a good idea. Like, what is this guy talking about? And then it says, okay, hits us. Oh, maybe they've locked the door because this dude is on some type of drugs or something, walking around the neighborhood, banging on their glass, trying to get some tacos. They just like, get him out of here. So we've locked the doors. Okay. All right. Okay, fine. So we go back over to the car and Hector's like, I'm going to call them to see. I mean, just let them know we're here for the tacos. At this time, three squad cars pull up behind us in front of the taco joint and immediately arrest this guy. Immediately cuff him, okay? So they've got intel that this dude needs to be arrested. At this point in time, he gets slammed on the hood of the paddy wagon. And one of the women unlocked the door to come out of Tommy's. They've got our tacos. And she goes, he's the guy that had the gun. What? He's the guy? The gun is in a backpack. We've taken the gun. It's in the kitchen right now, but he's the guy. What? They arrest this dude. They then go into the restaurant and they're bringing out another guy in handcuffs. Apparently the other dude that this guy was fighting with, Crazy Eyes Killer. So now both these guys are getting booked outside of this taco place. And we're like, there's a gun. There was some type of feud. There is some type of fight. There are now arrests. There is questioning outside this place. And Hector looks at me and goes, should we stay for the tacos? And I'm like, huh. Now, at this point in time, I've got a decision to make. There has clearly been an altercation involving a weapon, a firearm, inside Tommy's restaurant. And we could easily go to any of these other taco restaurants and cantinas on this strip or anywhere else, pick up a rock, pick up a San Antonio Spurs jersey and throw it 5 feet. There'll be another taco place. But I said, but we've already ordered the tacos. He goes, yeah, you're right. And I've got to decide, is this the safest idea? Is this the right idea? Am I about to put myself in harm's way on my road trip to Texas? And I see something that made me love America even more than I already do. As the SWAT team comes into Tommy's to haul out these guys, and it is a war zone inside, as I peek my head around and I see not only broken tortilla chips on the floor, not only do I see broken plates scattered about, not only do I see staff scrambling, I see six people at the door waiting for this guy to get booked and out of there so that they can go in and get their tacos as well. This place was so good. It didn't matter that a guy had a gun and two guys were getting arrested. People were like, move it along. I got tacos in there. And I said, I'm with them. Let's go get them. So we walk into the restaurant. There's like a line of about 12 people waiting, not only to get the tacos that they ordered, but other people that are still eating. They're like, can you just clear these people out of the way? Clear those dudes out of the way, these troublemakers. I want to finish up my breakfast here. And I loved it. It was like, yeah, okay. We see there's a gun. It's a restaurant. There's a lockdown situation. Okay, move them along. I've got tacos to eat. That's what everybody was doing at this place because the tacos were so good. I said, I love you people. You are my kind of people. Nothing will scare you away from your breakfast tacos. So I survived death tacos yesterday, and it was worth it because we brought them home, and they were, oh, so delicious. Oh, so delicious. I've had so much good Texas beer as well down here with breakfast tacos, which was really kind of like noon, 12:30 by the time that the whole place finally got that thing under control. I was drinking Dos Equis. But so much good Texas beer down here. I've tried to put it all on Instagram if you want to follow at Damon Amendo, because I've had some amazing stuff and amazing food and amazing beers, and it has been just so cool. I survived death tacos. When we come back here on the DA show, we've got your best audio of the day, and that includes our favorite broadcast team in baseball, John and Susan, trying to figure out something that old people just can't figure out in the middle of a Yankees game. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The only rules to join the mothership? You need to feel good and be doing well.
There's a bar in far Bombay. I will do just fine. He's the number one fan of the man they call Huge Freeze.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a real crying shame. The Mraz has put his foot back down. He's been the angry principal. Suspending one Huge Freeze, even after some recent appearances on the show. So I don't know when the next time we're going to get Huge is. Almost like he's whispering to me, humming to me in my ear. I don't know. I will say that I've really enjoyed Mraz's recent series on the Permission Granted podcast, known as the PG Profile, Permission Granted Profiles. He has now profiled Jacob Wilkins, who has finally found a full-time job broadcasting as the voice of the Rumble Ponies of Binghamton, New York. That's a AA minor league baseball team. And then also last week was Kenny Brock, formerly in the Wheels of Steel, during our overnight years in 2013 and 2014. Kenny Brock is recently engaged, so Mraz spoke to him in a deep dive into being a kinder, gentler, in love Kenny Brock. I have also suggested Huge Freeze as part of the PGP profiles, the deep dives. And unfortunately, Mraz has not taken the bait. He has said no.
Kill him with the head side.
He has said no. And I find that to be completely unfair to Huge. Huge is trying to build his career. Huge says this summer is a potential turning point in his career, and he wants somebody to notice him. And Mraz, you could give him that platform with the PGP, the Permission Granted Profiles.
I think I'm good on that. I think you guys have given him enough of a platform when he didn't belong on a show he was banned for.
He's stayed banned, okay? He was only on camera eating your cake.
No, he was on a Trash Tuesday that was very audible on his own mic that you guys are trying to pass off on somebody else's mic.
It was into Bogus's mic mistakenly because Bogus's mic was on.
You've avoided this for 2 hours. What was supposed to be on the air when his mic was mistakenly on then?
I was mesmerized by what he was saying, and so I just...
Oh, so a radio professional like yourself has bragged about being on the air for over 12 years or however long you've been in this business. Suddenly, you were mesmerized by the fat Frankie Valli talking off-air into a mic that was on.
Huge has that component. I mean,
interesting. So the guy who once did the Fort Myers Miracle now is mesmerized on a national show and will just allow dead air then because there's something being picked up on a mic.
Well... When I go to see, let's say, a band play, or I go to see a musical, I go to see a Broadway show, I'm not talking through the whole thing. I'm watching art. And I think that's just what happens when Huge is in studio. I feel like I'm watching an artist, and I just immediately want to be silent just to take it all in. And it just so happened at that point when I was silent, he was trashing fast food workers that give him the wrong sodas.
Oh, so you're not actually watching an artist, you're watching a fartist. That's what's happening there.
A fartist?
Yeah, that's what he is.
A fartist.
Yes.
Frankly, I thought Cake Cam was a hit, okay?
I'm glad it was such a hit. Glad it was a hit. I really enjoyed, again, those 7 a.m. text messages I was getting in Hawaii.
Doing More brought to you by The Home Depot, next generation of home improvement. Everything that you need to do, project smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Kawhi. He's the second straight winner of the Doing More Player of the Week because, of course, last weekend he shined in that game number 7 on Sunday. And now he shines after that clutch buzzer beater to knock off the 76ers with a 36-point effort yesterday, including 8 in the second overtime as the Raptors cut the Bucks series lead to 2-1. 118-112 in game number 3, Kawhi went 12 of 13 at the free throw line and played more than 52 minutes and perhaps threw a bum leg as well, but Kawhi has been absolutely phenomenal. It is time for your sound check. Here's your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Okay, so let's hear from Fred Smoot, okay? Because he formerly played for Washington. He was a cornerback for Washington, and he was joining their talk podcast. And he was being asked about Josh Norman, and Josh Norman, known for being loud and abrasive and obnoxious and signed that big free agent deal from Carolina. Here's Fred Smoot on Josh Norman.
You wouldn't go to a used car lot trying to pay new car prices with you. At the end of the day, for what we pay for this guy, we're not getting that return on that investment. All right, we pay this guy number one cornerback money. He's been the number one highest paid cornerback in the last 3 years, and a lot of people say he ain't even been in the top 10 as a ranking as a corner. I'm sorry, we paid too much for the car. It's time that we traded back in.
Isn't it amazing when I criticize Josh Norman, Washington fans come out of the woodwork and say, "Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. He's been worth the money. He's a number one corner. He shuts down the wide receiver. He's number one man with the hand they call huge freeze." Everybody jumps to Josh Norman's defense when I say something. Now, suddenly here's a guy that played with him, played on the football field for that franchise at that position, saying he is a bum used car that we paid new car prices for. And he's right. Josh Norman got his money and then got real comfortable. He fought like hell out of Carolina to get that big contract. And the moment that he got that big contract, suddenly it wasn't so big a deal anymore to be a number one corner and a shutdown dude. So Smoot is right. They paid off the lot prices for a pre-owned car. But that's classic Washington. Here's Drew Locke, rookie quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Audio courtesy of TMZ on the reports floating out there that Joe Flacco refuses to mentor him.
No, I don't really have any comments on it. Me and Joe, you know, he's taught me a lot so far. He's dealing with winning football games, and I'm dealing with trying to learn. So.
Got it. So he is mentoring you a little bit.
I mean, you know, we're in the same quarterback room every single day. Yeah. Same field. Yeah, he's been great to me.
Also, we're only in late May. It's May 20th. How much mentoring could Joe Flacco have done at this point in time? I mean, look, I think you know where I stand on this. I don't care if Joe Flacco mentors Drew Locke unless John Elway went to Joe Flacco and said, we're bringing you in to mentor our next guy. But he didn't do that because he brought in Joe Flacco to win football games. He didn't bring in Joe Flacco to mentor. Okay, he brought in Joe Flacco because nobody looks at Joe Flacco as a mentor. Elway needs to win football games. That's why Flacco is there. And now you're suddenly going to pivot and be like, well, now you're also going to mentor your replacement, and you got to make sure you're nice to the kid. No, that's not why you signed Flacco. There's a million McCown brothers out there you can sign to do that. You didn't bring in a McCown brother. You brought in a guy that could actually play the quarterback position. Oh, and Drew Locke has been a Bronco for a month. How much mentoring does Joe Flacco need to do during OTAs and minicamps? This is so much ado about nothing. And finally, our favorite broadcast crew. And you know, Susan. John Sterling and Susan Waldman of the Yankees Radio Network don't realize that weather doesn't necessarily travel from city to city, and then go into why the phrase when the cows come home is a phrase. Let's listen in.
At this point in time, it's raining in Boston. So there.
It is?
Yeah, oh, up on the scoreboard, rain.
Oh, my. Is it coming here? No, please no.
The irony about Houston and Boston, where it's raining in Boston, that's Houston's only time in. They will wait until the proverbial cows come home. And in Boston, there are not many cows roaming the streets.
There used to be. You know, the Boston Common was made for cow grazing. That's what it was.
1-1, fastball high. I never understood that until I went to Atlanta, and which is not a grid. Why did I get lost? For years. And
where, in Atlanta or in Boston?
Atlanta. Oh. Well, Boston get lost all the time. Me.
I know.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why. But anyway, they're called cow trails, or Indian trails in Atlanta, but cow trails.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, what is happening on that broadcast? I mean, honestly, these are just two old people playing bingo that happen to have a baseball game going on in front of them. These are just two old people playing cards, and yet they're at a baseball game every night.
Canasta or bridge?
Yeah, it's a canasta club. That's what is happening. I mean, Mraz, how do you get anything out of those broadcasts when you listen as a Yankee fan?
So that was 45 seconds. Could you tell me who was up or what the score was if you were just tuning in? Because I couldn't. And that was right when I tuned in.
Also, Bogish, why does Susan not speak into the mic? Why is she kind of like off mic?
Why are you asking me these questions?
Oh, my.
I don't know.
Also, they've done Yankee games forever. In the history of weather, weather has always moved from New York up to Boston. Never, ever have we seen a weather pattern go from Boston back down to New York.
If you've looked at any weather map of the U.S. ever, all you ever see is a jet stream going from the West Coast to the East Coast. So everything is going from left to right on your radio dial or your TV screen. And these, the Canasta Club of the Yankees, thinks that the weather's going to come from the east back west to New York.
Is it coming this way?
Is it going to come all the way down here? Is that how this works?
My windows are open.
Yeah, I love my windows open, John. What do I do now?
Boston Common was made for a cowboy.
She knows that, by the way.
1-1.
Oh, my God. There was all different types of cows up there, John. I mean, there was spotted cows, and, you know, cows, they make milk, and they make yogurt, and...
The 1-1.
1-1.
At least we knew the count.
Is it a grid? By the way, Susan is totally not listening. He's like, I went to Atlanta. I found out it wasn't a grid. She's like, Boston? No, Atlanta. She's just like reading bingo numbers or probably reading the weather in the Daily News.
We're in Atlanta or in Boston?
Atlanta. Oh. Well, Boston get lost all the time. Me.
I know.
Not a grid. It's definitely not a grid. How many grids do you think exist out there, John? Like, there's New York City, and then there's, like, no other grids, okay?
1-1.
Oh, by the way, they've been doing this for, like, 70 years. So they've seen every city. They've seen every ballpark. They've seen every hotel. John's still getting lost in Boston. They make a trip to Boston 4 times a year. He's been doing this for 50 years.
Plus postseason.
He's still getting lost up there. Is this the hotel that I've stayed at every year, every road trip since 1972? Oh, it is? It looks totally different.
But anyway, they're called cow trails.
The 1-1. Yeah, that's your sound check. Yeah, the 1-1. Oh, God. That's great. When we come back here on the DA show, California Dreamin', Bucks and Raptors now at 2-1. Can either one of them push the Warriors to the NBA Finals or beat the Warriors? That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Really appreciate what you do for us. I genuinely would love to hang out with you. That's how you make me feel. I'm sure that's how you make a lot of the D-Aliens feel as well.
D-A on CBS Sports Radio.
Very kind, very kind. I appreciate you hanging out with me every single day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific, right here on the D-A show on CBS Sports Radio. And you can always watch the show on any device, anywhere at watchda.com, including today. We are on the road in Austin at our Entercom studios here for Talk Radio 1370 AM as I'm on my Texas road trip. I'm back in New York tomorrow, but we still got the broadcast going on at watchda.com. Tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network live from the lanes in Wichita, Kansas, as they bring you coverage of the PWBA Tour. Don't miss the top female bowlers compete in the USBC Queens Championship round on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. CBS Spectacular, yeah! Game number 3 goes to Toronto yesterday in double overtime, 118-112. And so the Raptors get a very much needed win to avoid going down 3-0, in which the series would be over. And so now they've got more life. They've got life. And a gutty effort, a gutsy effort from Kawhi Leonard and crew. And he got really tremendous supporting contributions. And I talk about this a lot because in the NBA, it's so about stars and everything is revolving around the superstars. And yet that's not how championships are won. Yes, championship teams need the superstar. You're not going to get by with a 20-04 Detroit Pistons roster without a superstar. It's not going to happen. That is the lone exception to the rule in the NBA. You must have the superstar. So we always focus on them and their greatness in big moments. And obviously that is of the utmost importance, but you can't do it alone. LeBron James has 3 championships. LeBron James has been the best player in the NBA for more than a decade. Certainly was in his prime for 10 years because you need somebody else. Think about how brilliant he was in 2015 in the NBA Finals, averaging a triple-double, but didn't have Kevin Love, didn't have Kyrie Irving, and then lost in 6 to the Warriors. Think about how great LeBron James was the previous year for the Heat, his final year in Miami, when he was the only thing that was working for the Heat in the NBA Finals, and the Spurs with Kawhi had so much more balance and so many other parts and pieces and better coaching, etc. So while Kawhi is great, and I would love to have Kawhi on my team, and I am so refreshed by Kawhi Leonard being this good on both ends of the floor in enormous spots, stepping up as it matters most in the playoffs, and yet not wanting attention. I love that. I love that. I just don't think the Raptors have enough to supplement Kawhi to win 4 games of the series, and I definitely don't think they have enough to do it against the Warriors in the NBA Finals. And a side note on Kawhi, having been down here over the last couple of days, spent time in San Antonio with friends that work in the media that have covered the Spurs for a long time and others around that organization. The sense that they have about Kawhi is that Kawhi doesn't necessarily want a big market. Kawhi doesn't necessarily need L.A., but that Kawhi's uncle, who has maneuvered his career, Kawhi's career, believes that because Kawhi does not have a big personality, because Kawhi is not a big smiling face on State Farm commercials, that he needs to be in a massive market to take advantage of that attention, because his personality won't do it alone. And that his uncle is the one that is trying to manipulate him out of San Antonio, and did, and will encourage him to leave Toronto, because even though Toronto's a major market, that getting to a place like LA is where he needs to be, because his personality does not jump off the screen. Which is a shame if his uncle is kind of maneuvering all of this in his own self-interest, because I just don't think Kawhi cares about the attention. I think Kawhi needs commercials. I don't think Kawhi cares about marketability. I don't think he cares if he's got the highest selling jersey or not, like so many guys in the NBA. He doesn't care what he's wearing to the stadium, the arena. He just doesn't care, which I love. I just love that part about him. He's just brilliant at what he does. He's a genius basketball wise on the floor with how he plays and how he steps up. And it's coming so easy to him, but he doesn't need all the attention for it. And I find that so refreshing. But I just don't think that Toronto has enough around Kawhi to be able to challenge the Warriors in the NBA Finals. I actually do believe the Bucks do. I do believe that, because as great as Kawhi is, Giannis is his equal. Giannis is highly unguardable. Has been stepping up in these big spots, Giannis. And the rest of the team has flowed around him. And that's the best thing that Budenholzer brought to the table in Milwaukee. The concept of, we funnel through Giannis, but because he's so talented, we flow around him, okay? So let's build the team around him to help out what he does, which is, we need shooters to create space to allow Giannis to have some space to manipulate and roam in the paint and around the basket. Well, they've done that. They've done that, and it was a grueling 2-overtime loss in game number 3, but I believe the Bucks, when they are clicking at their best, it's not just about Giannis. It's about all the guys hitting shots, dropping threes, spacing the floor. Look at what Lopez has done. Look at what Brogdon can do. Look at what Middleton can do. Go down the list. Look at what Bledsoe can do. They've got not a great second player, but a lot of good parts that fit well, really well around Giannis. And that's why I do believe the Bucks can challenge the Warriors in the NBA Finals. I would say this. Because the NBA playoffs are built the way that they are, we tend to overreact to one game. And had the Bucks won in 2 overtimes yesterday instead of lost, many people would be saying today, Milwaukee will beat the Golden State Warriors. But because the Bucks lost, now suddenly there's a question of whether they can win the series. Are the Raptors back in it, etc.? I don't believe the Raptors are going to win this series. I still believe Milwaukee, what we saw in the first 2 games of this series, what we've seen throughout the playoffs, what we've seen them easily dispatch of the Celtics, is a next level that they can get to, that I think they can get to against the Warriors in the NBA Finals. Now, whether Golden State has Durant or not is obviously a big question mark here. Whether they're better without him, perhaps they are. Whether him coming back could derail things. Could you imagine if Kevin Durant comes back for the NBA Finals and they lose to the Bucks? What that does to KD's reputation? But I'll put it this way. Here's a great stat. The last 31 games the Warriors have played where they've had Steph but didn't have KD. They've had 31 games. They had Steph. They didn't have KD. They've won 30 of them. So who's more vital to that team's success? It's clearly Steph. It's always been Steph. Kevin Durant made that team unbeatable the last couple of years. But in terms of the greatness, it was already there with Steph. When Steph plays and KD doesn't, the Warriors are 30-1. They have won four straight games of the playoffs without him, and really five if you count what happened in game number five when they lost KD against the Houston Rockets. 30-1 when they have Steph Curry and they don't have Kevin Durant. That says a lot. And the problem is going to be when, not if, when Kevin Durant leaves in the offseason, the idea that suddenly the Warriors are that much more beatable. I mean, I think they are over an 82-game regular season. It stretches out, obviously, what Steph needs to do on a nightly basis. You don't have yet another Hall of Fame scoring option to fall back on when other guys are cold or going through a rut or a slump. But even if, let's even say the Bucks beat them in the NBA Finals and they lose Kevin Durant, the Warriors come back as one of the three or four favorites to win the NBA championship again next year, assuming they retain Klay Thompson, which I think when they lose Kevin Durant, they'll put all their eggs in the basket of re-signing Klay Thompson, which I totally agree with. When we come back here on the DA Show, we look inside another Kevin Durant social media snipe session.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.